You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey everybody, welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in, a couple things. First of all, we'd love if you'd leave a five-star review. Those reviews are really big to us. Also, go over and check out our sponsors, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine in the market. So easy to set up, easy to use, will make your team, you know, we'll make your team better shooters. I can guarantee that. And not necessarily scorers, but the great thing is they've dealt with that problem. And now you have trainers there. You have things on the Dr. Dish. It will actually help you become a better scorer. So go over and check it out. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Right now, we got a quarterly membership. We're trying something new here. We think it's a great innovation for all of you. Maybe jump in for 3 months and kick the tires around. We believe in teachhoops.com so much that we have a 14-day free trial right now. No one else has that. No one else are you going to get their bat phone and be able to get on a call and help them through. So our roadmap is second to none too. It will walk you through your basketball journey. So come over and check us out at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
Ain't going to get him out at first base. We got to stop the next worst thing.
Right.
So expect the worst. Expect the worst. It was the worst thing. They're going to flash cut you. Expect the flash cut. They're going to do this, expect that, be ready to go. So we'll teach it 4-3-4, walk through it, then we'll play live. We'll come back, we'll do 4-on-4 shell, then we'll do some 5-on-4 shell in which they have to learn to do their slides. Really have to work hard on that guard, getting down to the weak side box. And then in my shell, I have them throw skip. So they have to get used to closing out a different person and adjusting from behind. And then we'll eventually do 5.
Do they fight you on any parts of it?
They love it. They love it. Every group I've had, they first, I actually was helping a couple of years ago. My friend was coaching up the street and he said, I really like what you're doing. Can you come put it in? And I went and I was helping him with his girls varsity team. They're a pretty good team. And they were like, it's so funny. And I've noticed this, and it sounds funny, but the kids you think the kids that are real good basketball players, it takes them longer to get it. The other kids are like, oh, I see the advantage in this. They're almost like you can tell like their life is how do I get to that person's level? I'll take anything I can to get there. So right. I went with them and we started putting it up there. And once the kids got it, and you can see it almost happen, like you almost see the little light bulbs go off bits at a time. And all of a sudden it'll just come to them. And it's kind of a neat thing because then when they get it, they can't imagine it doing any other way because the philosophy fits with the press when our pressure defense. So,
right. So do you ever not do this or is this the pillar of your program?
It was the pillar of my program with our girls team. And I had a lot of coaches, you know, I spoke at the Maine Association of Basketball Coaches, Rick Clark, who's in the New England Basketball Hall of Fame, called me up. He's a coach over here at York, Maine. He said, hey, why don't you go to the thing on your matchup? I'm like, I can't. It's the only thing that keeps me competitive in Class A. So I'll do some drills, but I'm not going to do that. But I've had a lot of coaches ask me. I've had a lot of coaches, you know, when we share, we have a great camaraderie up here.
Right.
And they're like, they just can't figure out some of the slides and some of the different things we've done. And then we'll do it systematically. So were getting beat by a real good post player one time. And we found out there was one girl that wasn't a real good shooter. Matter of fact, she, I think she only took like 8 shots, and this is middle of the year. So we just played a, we played a matchup in none, and we told our opposite guard, you're going to go down in front of the post every time. It's the ball game. So every time they throw it in, there's this little 5'3" guard down there just in the way.
And the ball don't they hate that?
Oh, then ball, and always ball always finds a kid that can't shoot. So, you know, it was great. And that, and say that, just you do little things like that, and they learn to believe in it. They love it. They don't want to do anything.
Do you run anything offensively that runs with this? Is your offense related to your defense? Is basically what I'm asking.
I most of our offense is done based on what I have for personnel that particular year. So my Marshall girls team, I ran for years. I ran Bill Self's Kansas high-low offense when I had some real good post players, and we did well. And then we get out of that when I went guard, we were guard heavy and went to, went to read and react. And we actually went to a little dribble drive. When the kid, they like that. They really like that. Especially my post player who scored 19 points in her first varsity start and didn't have to do anything but catch the ball and lay it in. She thought that was the greatest offense she'd ever run. So. But, I try to do that. But we actually, I tell parents, I said, when you see me sub, 90% of the time I'm subbing more on the defensive end than I am on that, because we will run half court trap. We run a couple specials. We'll run 31, which is an extended. So we'll pick up a little easier and we can run a jump out of that. We'll run 37. Anything with 7 on it's special. So we can go matchup in 1. We can play that either diamond formation or box, depending on how they come down. And we just play matchup. And the kids love it because it's just the same drill they do every day.
Do you do this on out of bounds play? This is all you do. This is out of bounds plays. This is everything.
So out of bounds play, the way we set it up is we slide, we bring our forwards over to the ball. So we're talking about baseline out of bounds play.
Right.
Bring my front side forward in front of the ball, the back side forward under the rim. The weak side guard goes to that box. I have my the strong side guard is playing behind that forward that's on the ball, and that person has all corner responsibility. My point has kind of middle floating area. And as soon as the ball comes in, so strong side guard has that corner, weak side guard has the corner away because it's going to be a longer pass. And what happens is once the ball comes in, we actually practice every closeout drill we do, we practice throwing the ball from the baseline out. So when we start, all 4 players start on the baseline every single time. We never start on the floor. It's always coming from the baseline.
Ah, I like that.
So I'll actually have them stand there. Sometimes we'll mix and match. So we'll go, okay, so there's 5 out there, there's 4. Throw it out there, and they have to come off the baseline to close out and identify where the ball is. So it's, we do it every day. I've never done a shell drill, not like that.
Is there a difficulty in transitioning into this, or is it you think it's easier and why?
I think it's easier because we – like when we run, we don't call them suicides, we call them wake-ups. I got that from Hall of Fame coach Tom Maines, who I started my career up playing for. When we actually run suicides, I stole a drill from Al Sakaitis, who was at USM and did some work with the Knicks. When he runs a suicide, they run facing the same rim. They run forward to the foul line, and when they go back to the baseline, they're actually shuffling with their, shuffling, calling up ball. They run forward to half court. They'll run shuffling backwards, still facing that straight.
Do they shuffle or they pedal backwards?
They shuffle. So they're shuffling their hips, turning their hips, being quick with their feet, almost like a quick shuffle drill going backwards. So they're coming backwards, but they're shuffling back and forth. And they're usually calling like a ball. So we do first foul line back, half court back.
I like that.
Other foul line, when you turn and run, and we look over the inside shoulder at the rim. So you're simulating pressing. As soon as you get to half court, you snap your hips, and then you're shuffling all the way back. Then obviously full court over your shoulder, snap your hips at half court like that. So if we're going to run, we're going to run and get something out of it other than just running. So right. we build on that all the time. So the kids are always hearing me say, snap your hips over your shoulder, find the ball, locate the ball. So my biggest thing when I first took the Marshall girls job is I had to really improve that. I thought defensive transition, I was so scared. I thought we were going to give up layup after layup after layup. And I think my fourth or fifth year there, I think we gave up maybe 7 layups all year long, pressing every game. It was like, and the kids took pride in it. Like we would chart. We have a great thing. We chart some of the stuff in this. We chart deflections. We chart, the kids came
deflections up. Deflections are undercharted in my opinion.
Oh, we love deflections. We die for deflections. Right. We chart charges. We've probably led the state in charges. I had one girl take 7 charges in 1 game. It was just unbelievable. She went to play at Maine Maritime, had a great career. But we actually chart, the girls came with this one. They found a way to do it. They call it a defensive save. So we're in a mismatch situation, whether through pressing, whether you get beat, and we don't give up a layup or an easy shot. And they took so much pride in the fact that they wanted the ball to go from either the basket or the rim back out front again. So you can decide what a defensive save looks like based on your what you do and what your philosophy is. So our thing was, let them get the ball to the rim, but they're not going. And if the ball comes back out front, now we're closing out. Oh, we're on a drill we've done every day. So that's a defensive save.
Like
we tried ourselves on that. That was a big one. I think it was, I'm trying to think whether we had, that was probably one of our biggest chart ones that the kids took the most pride in, along with charges. They love charges.
I know. I mean, charges are that weird, kind of that one of those weird things too. It's like, it's just so moving. So the people listening, I'll make sure Coach gives me that PDF and then we'll put it, I'll put it down in the show notes for them. So I'm going to do my rapid fire. These are just quick questions. They don't necessarily have anything to do with matchup, because I've asked most of the questions I had about the matchup. What's your favorite brand of basketball, the actual ball?
Oh, wow. I'd go Spalding. I'm sorry. I'm the old school. So,
okay. One word to describe your ideal player.
Oh, relentless.
Okay. If you go to one sporting event in the world, what would you go to and why?
I've always said I'd love to be at the Olympics for the final races. I just think that's just unbelievable to watch people perform at that level.
Say the Olympics. I like that.
That like you watch those guys run 100. I've never seen anything like that. Just to see that kind of athleticism on that final day of all the finals would be something else.
Oh, I tell people it's like going to an NBA game and sitting close to the floor. Like you just can't believe those bodies. Like it's just like LeBron runs like a 6 foot athletic person. And he's like, it's just, you can't believe it. It's like, you look at him and go, whoa, what are you doing? What's your favorite pregame or postgame meal?
Post pregame, not a whole lot. Postgame, believe it or not, being a type 2 diabetic, I come home and make myself some whole wheat French toast. It's kind of a nice little comfort food in the winter up here in Maine. So
mine's Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, we don't have Chick-fil-A here. So.
I know you don't.
I know, that kills us. So.
Yeah. What does your game day look like? Especially, do the girls and the boys play on different days?
We play the same day because it's Class D. So there's not usually JV games. There's nobody that's a JV team. So we go the same day. So our home games are great. We actually play beautiful church. Our pastor is a 1,000-point scorer in college. You got to love that when he builds you a gym. What we'll do, we'll get there. We have to kind of help set up the gym. So if the girls are playing first, boys will help set the gym up. What we do is we try to get there and we'll do some sort of shoot around. Sometimes what we'll do, I'd say, as the guys are setting up, the girls will shoot around plenty early. The guys will then get some time on the floor. They'll go through game shots. Stuff we want to do. We'll review a few things. We'll review some of the adjustments on our defense. My pregame is kind of fun. I started this and the girls at Marshwood really did a good job with this. We did such a good job with scouts that they would go in with about 3 minutes to go in the JV game. Sorry, 3 or 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, they'd go in and they would have their own pregame. And I'd walk into a whiteboard full of game notes that they had already gone through. What then I would do is I'd walk in, I'd look at it, and I'd pick out the top two or three things that I had in my mind that they had up there. And what was great was they bought in, and then we going like that. And then I do my pregame. We've already done a lot of scouting. And then what was really cool was at halftime, we'd meet outside. We'd write stuff down that we wanted to do. And I'd walk in. The first thing I'd ask those teams, because they were, especially my 2012 team, they were just so smart. And I'd say, okay, what do you got? And what's amazing, 99 times out of 100, they were spot on.
I'm just trying to wrap. So you coach a game and then you
coach another game. That's what you do when you're 56 years old. You know what?
Adrenaline must be a crazy. How do you go to sleep that night?
Well, time on PM.
Seriously. Okay. I know how, like, I got to go. I got to come home and walk. I couldn't imagine. So is there like a 20 minute? Do you get a break? Yeah. Like 20 minutes or something.
I've really made a good habit out of not saying too much post game anyway. I think that's, if I think of over my 30 something years, 90% of any miscommunication or problem has come in the post game thing when you're just kind of, we're all jacked up and this and that. So I've trained myself over the course of years to walk in and, you know, be attentive. Don't just say, okay, good game, let's walk out of here. But, you know, try to give them something. And I think what's really cool is that our kids, because they do practice together, they can't wait to get out and watch the other team play.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing with post game is they don't hear you. Like, they don't hear you. Like, either good or bad, they will hear you the next day. They will not hear. You could literally say, I'll give you $1 billion. And they'll go, what? Huh? And it's like, okay. And it's like, they don't know. I mean, it's not a great teachable moment is what I tell young coaches. Worst teachable moment ever is after a game.
Right. Because chances are you probably get it wrong anyway, because you're seeing it through your glasses and they're seeing it through theirs. And I think what's been really cool is like during the season, it was so neat to hear the girls play and the guys in the crowd, because we didn't have any fans because of COVID.
Right.
You could hear them saying stuff, but it was basketball stuff.
Right.
It wasn't mom and dad yelling, go or shoot, or, you know, it was yelling, hey, drop to the ball. You know, they were doing stuff. And what's great, then the girls near the end of the year started doing the same for the guys. And my athletic director, she's just sitting there. She's like, this is unbelievable.
Right. Let's leave the parents at home. You know, Bobby Knight said always the best coaching job in the world was at an orphanage.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
you know, and our parents are very supportive in most cases.
And parents are great, but parents are parents.
Right. Yeah. They, I always tell them, I see things in number 12. You see things in number one. I can't possibly love your child as much as you do, but you can't possibly like this team as much as I do.
Right. I know. Yeah. They just don't. It's like, they just don't. It's not against them. Huh. What's one thing you do to relax? I do podcasts.
Yeah. I watch podcasts. I like to get on. I'll get on and I'll do a lot of stuff. I like to do a lot of. I'm still at, you know, age 56, been coaching since I was in my 20s, and I still. That's how I came upon you. I like to dig around and find stuff and write stuff down. And my wife gets mad because she's afraid to throw anything away because I got scribbles all over it. And
you should see all these post-its. It's like they're everywhere. Like look at it, like everywhere. They're like all over the place. I know. Yeah.
I do that, and I love one of my biggest thing. My favorite hobby is easily fly fishing. I like to go.
How is the fly fishing in Maine?
It is unbelievable.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Come on up. There look like there are some good streams up by Middlebury.
No, there are. You know, so you come up our way, you know, the mountains, and you know the salmon and trout. But what's fun is one of my buddies has a nice boat. We go up fly fish for stripers offshore. So that's. Catch a striped bat, you know, you catch yourself.
Coach Collins might have to make a road trip to Maine because I used to fly fish all the time and I'd go the Wolf and stuff. And then I do like there's streams in Wisconsin too. A bunch of presidents went to northern Wisconsin trout fishing, but worms and night and spinners and stuff. I do the little stuff, but you need more space. Some of the smaller streams you can't get in with a fly, you can't do it. But a brook trout, oh my gosh, it's like eating lobster.
Yeah, like, it's unbelievable. It's just, and I'm one of those guys, you can put me in a river knee deep, and, you know, thigh deep in a river for a whole day. I may not catch anything, get two rises, but it's still just, I've told my own kids too.
I've never smoked. I said the only time I've ever smoked is I'd have a cigar in when I was fly fishing. They go, what do you mean? I'd have the cigar to keep the flies and the mosquitoes away. It was just, I didn't smoke it, but I would light it and keep it in my mouth just to keep the mosquitoes away sometimes in some of the streams up north. But oh my gosh, I always say that's PK. People go, what does that mean? I go, that's pre-kids. That was when I had time to do that stuff.
I'm lucky. I got my son, he's 22 now, and he's actually getting into it. So I get him out fly fishing a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I just go, and it's just one of those. I mean, I would actually come home from school someday, and my wife goes, go fly fishing, get out.
Yeah.
You need to get out of the house. I would get out of the house and go, and I would go, and you come back, and it's like therapy. You kind of get
so nice. Involved.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
One coaching technique you think's important.
I love listening to what Coach was it Jeremy the last one you had on? He did the timeouts. We did the timeouts in practice too. And I like what, you know, it does. The kids would say, hey, Coach, we need a 30. We need a full. Okay. We walk off the floor. what I found was the best part about that, besides the fact they can reorganize, is that it's amazing. They understand the value of time when you only have 60 seconds.
I know.
Now they're realizing the timeout. I don't have 15 seconds to find my water bottle.
Right.
I don't have a lot of that. So they have learned over the course of these seasons how valuable that time is and like that. So I think anytime you can impress upon your kids being on time, time in the game, time and score like that, anytime you can utilize that to help them become better prepared, I think, like I said, time is your worst enemy in practice. We'd all love to have practice for 5 hours.
The most valuable resource we have as human beings is time. People don't realize that. Do you have any superstitions?
I used to, but not so many anymore. Obviously, you know, I got a couple assistant coaches that, you know, wear our colors are blue, but if we're playing a team in red, if I walk in wearing red, I get yelled at. So they don't want me wearing the color.
Oh, see, I used to, one of mine was I used to wear my tie was the opposing colors, the opposing team's color.
Yeah.
So if we were playing a team that has red, I'd wear a red tie. I would just like, it would just be one of those weird things.
When I was in high school, remember when we were in high school, we had to wear 3 pairs of socks because the shoes are so bad. I always wore the striped colors of the team we played closest to.
I forgot about that. It's like my dad would like, you better put, you're going to get blisters. It's like.
Remember that? We had to buy our shoes. I tell the kids we had to buy them in September and walk around the house with 3 pairs of socks. And
have. I know. They look at you like, what are you talking about? Describe your perfect player in 5 words or less.
Loves the game. Loves teammates more.
Best player of all time.
Being from Maine, you know, I got to go with Larry, but I mean, obviously it's Michael. I mean, you know, as a kid, when you're an eighth grader and Larry's playing in college and he's drafted when you're a freshman and you get to follow your high school career and follow this, and all of a sudden you're watching Larry Bird every night. It was no bigger.
I'm telling you, I try to explain to the kids, like, I'm a Magic guy. So yeah. I said, you can only be one. Like,
yeah.
Like that's what they didn't understand. They go, what do you mean? I go, no, you either like the Lakers or the Celtics. There was no middle, like you couldn't like kind of like both of them. It was
my college roommate was a Laker fan. It was in the '80s. Are you kidding me?
Oh, you had to pick a coast
going off on each other.
It was you had to pick a coast. Like pick one.
Yeah.
And they go, what do you mean? I go, you just don't understand. Because it wasn't like ESPN was like, you picked one, and that was what you either like the Lakers or you like the Celtics. There was no middle ground.
And they weren't putting teams together to be super teams. It was, I want to beat you and I want to beat you to a pulp. And they don't. Yeah. It was, we grew up in a special time, coach. We did.
High school shot clock. Yes or no.
I'd say no, because I don't think, one of my friends was a great coach and great player. He said anything that makes the high school game look like the NBA game probably isn't good.
I know. So, it's coming too. It's coming.
I know. I don't mind it situational maybe. And I know people say, well, you know, they can run the game. And I'm thinking, if I had a team that could hold the ball for 24 seconds, I'd win the state championship. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
I had one dad say,
I don't know what the I don't know what the push is. I just don't know what the push is. I just don't know what it is.
Because people see it on TV and it translates better to what they know. It's like when I ran all these youth camps and, you know, kids come in and you're playing dribble knockout and all these games. And they're like, well, when are they going to play a real game? I'm like, well, they're six. They're not going to play a real game.
Right.
They all got a ball in their hand. They're happy.
It's like I've said, no one should shoot a 3-pointer until they're like 12 years old. They go, what do you mean? I go, they're not strong enough.
Right. We had our senior night canceled. COVID broke outbreak at 4 o'clock. So we decided to do something with our 3 senior boys. So we get some pizzas. We invited the parents in because they were coming anyway. So what I said was, let's put together like a half an hour practice. Because you know what do your kids say? Would you do a practice tonight? They go, nothing. Right. So I said, let's show them what we do. So they will love it. The kids love it. So we came out with our North Carolina weave, and we decided doing that. And the kids are flying down. The girls are right with them. And half the girls are playing in Crocs and socks because they didn't think they were playing that night. And so I'm explaining to the parents. They're all sitting there, what's going on? And I'm explaining that this is a drill. We, you know, everybody get shots up and we're doing this. It's a great way to warm up and communication and this and that. First thing the father said was, who's winning? And I'm like, it's a drill with 5 basketballs. He could not grasp that there's nobody winning this drill. They're winning because they're getting better.
Right. And they're having fun. They're kids. A charge circle in high school. Yes or no?
I don't like that either. I don't think we're athletic enough to have a charge circle.
I don't think so either. One thing you'd tell – oh, well, I'm going to save that one. Best basketball coach of all time.
I used to be a little jealous of John Wooden because I thought, well, of course you win. You get all the athletes. But then I realized, why did all the athletes go there? And the more
he had a guy too. If you read,
he did have a guy.
He had a guy. Yeah. He had a guy.
But you know, there are times you still sustain it for that long, and I think his guiding principles are pretty good. I think
I think so too.
One of the guys I love, believe it or not, I always thought was a great coach, is Lute Olson. I always thought Lute Olson did a great job at Arizona with what things that he did. I actually went to Bobby Knight. I went to his clinic where he does his offense in the morning, defense in the afternoon. And I actually get all my switch rules sitting at that clinic, and to have, you know, to do what he did. Not sure I like the way he does everything, but you know, for his passion and what he does for the game, obviously being a Red Outback, you know, the IP watching,
right.
Do what he did. So,
Coach could be a politician because Coach didn't answer the question, but that's okay.
Yeah. Now, you know, myself, I'm going to go with Wooden. Yeah. I think I just pulled from so many people that I'm kind of like,
I know. Do you like the jump ball in high school?
To start the game. Yeah.
Okay.
But
that's one of my pushes is to get rid of it.
I would rather high school go to halves.
Oh, we play halves. We play halves.
All the quarter break does is take the ball to one team's hand and put it in the other team's hand.
We play halves. I'm telling you, the flow of the game is better. The only reason I'm pushing to get rid of the jump ball is there's three officials, and one of them throws it once a game.
Right.
So they're horrible at it. Yeah. Like, so why are we doing something? Just give the visiting team the ball and let's go.
Right. That makes sense. I always felt like,
and we do alternating possession after that. That's fine. Yeah. Whatever.
I don't mind that. I just didn't like, especially coaching middle school, when you try to keep a few extra kids with halves. I'd love to put a kid in with 7:53 on the clock and let them play to 4:31. And now they think they played the middle instead of playing a minute. And
I know we play two 18 minute halves.
I like that. Yes, it's awesome. Like that.
But I'm going to tell you, if you ever go to halves, you basically become a college coach because no one can play 36 minutes. Right. Like, you have to give them. So like even my best player, at some point I'll get like, hey, he's got to come out. And then I give him that. Like, if you watch a college game, no one plays 40 minutes. They play 37 minutes maybe, but you give them that little blow somewhere in there and then you get them back in. So it gets you to play more kids. I'm telling you, it forces you to play more kids. Which is good.
I've always played 8-9 deep.
Always play more kids. All right. So the last question I always ask is any bit of advice you'd give your younger self?
Focus on the process and not the results. One of my pivotal coaching moment is that 2012 team. I thought we had a chance to finish as runner up. I didn't. There was a private school out of Portland that, I mean, they had BC and Stanford.
Right.
You know, we're not beating them. Right. We thought we had them at home and they beat us by 31, and it was the best team ever. We led the league in scoring that year. It was nothing we could do. We finished the game. We ended up losing two. Ironically, the coach that got me started as a fifth grader, he came and coached girls for 1 year. We lost him and turned it by three at the Cumberland County Civic Center in Portland. It was just one of those things. I'd been working with those kids since they were fourth and fifth grade. They were just wonderful kids, the smartest team I've coached, talented, just, you know, all just great kids. And we went to the locker room and one of my seniors was sitting there because it's rough. You know, you lose and it's over. And anybody want to say something? And two things were said by two different seniors. One senior said, I wish I could go back and be an underclassman because I want to thank you, underclassmen, for playing as hard as you did, because I don't think I played as hard as you did for the kids above me. And I thought that was really neat. And then the other girl said, I honestly don't think there's anything else we could have done. We attended every camp. We did in-season weightlifting, off-season weightlifting. We did everything we could, and this is as far as we go. And she goes, I really don't have any regrets. I'm sad it's over, and I hate it, but I don't think there's anything else we could have done to go further. And that caught me. I'm like, wow, like, you get it. You know, that's coming from a 17-year kid in her worst moment, her last minute of playing athletics, and she's got that inside of her. So the process, enjoy the process, because the results, I know.
My brother always, or one of my brothers said, or one of my friends said, if you're only happy if you win your last game, you're not going to be very happy very often. So it's like, there's only a handful of state champions. So enjoy the process, enjoy the kids, enjoy the experience. Well, thank you, Coach. I appreciate you coming on. This was awesome. And I appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Right. You get to Maine, let me know. I'll get you in a river somewhere.
Oh, I will for sure. Hey, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you like it. Go over and check out our other podcasts, High School Hoops, Teacher Side Gig. And then go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.